He doesn't work through love. He works through fear. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to sweat. He wants you to think that God isn't in control and that God doesn't have matters in his hands. He wants you to believe that you're in trouble and there's no way out of it. But I got to tell you what, something you probably already know. It isn't true. That isn't true at all. God is in control. And you're going to hear this throughout the service today, but you don't need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. Whatever it is in your life, you don't need to be afraid because God's in control. God knows. God knows your broken heart. God knows what you're worried about. God knows the fear you have for your children. And God knows there's enough fearful things out there in the world. There's terrible things happening. But listen to me. God says, you know what? You're mine. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. You belong to me. You were baptized. You were baptized. You're my sons. And I will never let you go. And even when the storms blaze around you and when it seems like you're walking through fire, I will be there holding your hand. And even when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear. I will be with you. Even there, I'll be with you and I'll hold your hand as I bring you into an eternal life. That's a good word. Thank you, Lord. Rose, you want to come up? You want to share a couple, something that God had been really opening her heart up. Watch yourself there. Let me help you. Well, I don't want a lawsuit. Hang on a second. I got to get you a mic. No. Try it again.
God had put the scripture on my heart for the people that got baptized last Sunday. Psalms 25:1-7. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from everlasting. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. And also, I'd also like everybody to know that God has been really working with me. He's been healing me.
Thank you, God.
I've been getting a lot better.
Amen.
So keep your eyes on God, because that's what I've been doing. He gives me his strength every day. And the only way I do it is by keeping my word. Keep my eyes in his word.
His word, yeah.
24/7, this is what I do, 24/7, right here.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Good word. Let's just take a couple minutes to encourage each other. Maybe there's a scripture or maybe just a short story or something, but yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What kind of song? I got to come here. My ears are not so good. What song do you want? I got one for you. How about Jesus Loves Me? Would that be good?
No, you just sang that yeah. The last time.
You're not going to forget it then, right? They're going to help me sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves Samantha. Jesus loves Samantha as much as he could ever love anybody. He loves you. All right? You know that? Yeah, praise God. You can sit down now, okay? I'll talk to you after, right?
Samantha, God is telling you that
10:13. It says, no temptation filmed. Be careful that you do not fall. No temptation you go through. God does not. It says basically that.
He'll give you strength.
Yeah, he gives you strength. And he does not give you any more than you can handle.
Amen.
And you know, Scotty, this man over here, Scotty behind you, gave me that when I was having a really rough time too. And like I said before, you have to surrender to God.
Yeah, we love you. Okay?
We love you.
We love you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I know. I'll be right back, okay? I'll be right back. Someone else. Let's just encourage each other this morning. Peter?
I just wanted to say that God has shown me that even in your darkest hour, he will give you a ray of hope.
Amen. And sometimes it's especially in your darkest hour. That's when God really speaks. Someone else. Let's build each other up. Yeah. Early. And then Jody.
I said, thank you, dear God, that your eyes are on the right ears. Thank you that you here are open to our prayer. Thank you, dear God, for telling me to trust you with all my heart, where my hope and confidence come from. Thank you that I am sheltered, protected, that no evil can harm me. Thank you that resting in you, I am safe from evermore. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that I have been redeemed, that we have been redeemed.
Amen.
In your precious blood, mm-hmm. O Lord. And thank you that you have been a lamb for us without blemish and without spot. Thank you, Jesus, that the reason for the hope we have in you is because I know that nothing can separate us from your love, O Lord. Mm. The hope that we have in you is to know that you are the way to heaven, and you are the way for us to go to heaven through you. Thank you for being our all in all. We give you thanks, glory, and honor. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God bless you.
We just like to thank everyone who's been praying for us lately, and most importantly, thanking God. We've had a few instances. Jordan Moffitt, who's been a family friend of Dana's family for quite a while, got crushed by 400 pounds of ice. We didn't think he'd make it, but he's alive and he's talking. He's in the Calgary hospital.
Thank you, God.
They say he's going to be paralyzed from the waist down, but with God's grace, he'll walk again. Dana's dad also had a heart attack last Sunday. He also quit breathing for about 7 minutes. Everyone was worried that he'd have brain damage. I think God gave me the peace to know elsewise, because when he woke up, he knew everyone that was there, and he's already been trying to escape the hospital.
That's good.
So hopefully he'll be shipped back to Edmonton within the next couple of days, and we'll get to see him. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. We love you guys, and we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying. Okay, I got a couple over here. Karen?
Last week, because of everything that was going on in the world and in the media, I was almost afraid to come to church, to leave the house. And I flipped through my Bible, and I came to the verse that said, "Do not fear those who can take your body from you.
Yeah.
Fear the one who has the authority to cast you into hell." Well, the only person that has that authority is God himself. And God is a God of love.
Yeah.
There is absolutely nothing to fear. But when we get in our limited, separate selves and our little lives, it's very fearful. Mm-hmm. But God is so great that he gave me a very specific verse. And I wanted to share that with everyone. Only fear God.
We need to hear that.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
I just want to introduce a very special lady to our church. Her name is Jody, and she's an addict who is in recovery now for how long?
since May.
Praise God. Yeah. Amen.
And I just want to celebrate the positive momentum of God, because I was brought here by my cousin.
Yeah.
And I've been here for a while now, and now I introduce her here, and I'm just so happy that God's in her life and that she's welcomed to this church.
Tell us your name, too.
My name is Tina.
Tina, because we need to know who Tina is. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're learning new people's names. That's important. Paul, isn't God good? Well, it's time to get excited.
He's awesome. From Luke 1, the birth of John. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy towards her, and they rejoiced with her. Hey, they didn't say, that's nice. You know, when something like this happens, it's not, we don't just sit there and say, that's nice. We rejoice.
Amen.
Thank you, God, that you care about us so much that you don't want us to suffer.
That's right.
That you don't want us to suffer alone. That you show us things so that we'll direct ourselves towards you.
Yes. Let's celebrate like that, right?
Woo!
Woo! Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Okay, I've been searching out God's promises in my devotions in the morning, and it's been such an exciting program that I can't wait to get up in the morning.
Hallelujah.
Even in the dark. Anyway, one of the first ones that I found and started with was really good for me. It's from Deuteronomy, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. Mm-hmm. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And then later on, he says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And you know what? This book is full of so many promises. You can't get enough of them when you start.
Wow. That's encouraging. That's exciting. Iris, do not be afraid, it says. Be of courage.
Good morning. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, and I mean nothing, shall by any means hurt you. So by all authority given unto me through Jesus Christ our Lord, I take away, I bind all the tools of the enemy, alcohol, drugs, anger, strife, enmity, and pride. I bind it up right now, and I cast it out. You get out in Jesus' mighty name, and I stomp on your head and use those as a footstool for my feet. Thank you, Father."
Amen. Ooh. Good to have Iris back.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
This past 3 weeks since I've had Grayson, God has just been really revealing to me just how much he even cares about the little things. And I have a wonderful testimony. We got a stroller and a car seat that go together, and I didn't know what this one piece was for, and I ended up throwing it away. Well, it ended up being the piece that needed to connect the two together, and if I didn't have it, it would fall off. And I was not going to go through the garbage bags, though I did think of it, to search for it. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have to buy some bungee cords and, you know, fix it up that way. And so a couple of days later, I was strolling on Kijiji, and lo and behold, there was the piece that I needed. And I phoned the lady, and I said, "I can't believe that I found this on here." She's like, "I've had this on here for a year, and every time I went to go take it off, something told me not to."
Wow.
And so she was charging $5 for it, but when I got there, she only charged me $2. And I was like, I know it's a little thing, but to me, it was like, really? You cared about that, Lord? You cared?
That's
and
right.
He said, "I care about every head on your, every hair on your head, my girl." And so it just really blessed me. And so whatever it is, big or small, he cares about what you're going through, and he will provide anything that you need.
Good words. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Can I just do one more? And then, Tim, I'm going to ask you to pray, if you will, just for God's word. Why don't you stand up, bro?
Revelations 2, verse 9. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And after having lived the way I lived and visited many places that I visited, it comes to my attention that probably what is meant is, first of all, when it comes to the end of days, which I feel and assume a lot of us assume we're somewhat in the inkling of living right now, there'll be two sides, those who are for Christ and those who are against Christ.
Yeah.
And the synagogues and those who call themselves Jews, how can they be Jews when they do not recognize who the Christ is? How can they be the Jews when they do not accept the fullness of God? And also, I'd like to share something that happened yesterday. I was going out to buy a pair of headphones, and I just couldn't find enough money in my pocket to be able to do it. I was standing in the line, and I was thinking to myself, okay, what I'm going to have to do is take a walk outside and probably have to ask somebody for a little bit of change or something. And just as I was about to do that, there was a gentleman who was standing behind me, and he said, no, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. And as she said, as I was thinking this, I was thinking it and I was saying it to myself prayerfully. And I was just surprised when I walked out. I was kind of like, wow. You know?
Amen.
Even when I don't think you're going to come to my aid, you're there. And right now I was just thinking about it and he was like, open the Bible, open the Bible. So I opened it and I found this verse and I remember that I'd seen it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really important to share that it is not by any short form of luck or anything that we're here. We are called to be the children of God. So we are the Israelites and yeah. We are the Jews.
Thank you, Lord. Good work. You want Tim? Amen. Amen. You say amen? Amen. Thank amen. You, God. Thank you, Lord.
Well, Father, I just want to thank you for this season.
Yes, God.
I want to thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I know in my own life that I can testify and I'm a witness to your faithfulness.
Yes, God.
I thank you, Father, for what you've done for me. And I know you want to do good things for each and every one of us. I thank you, as I heard different people speak today, that the Word of God does say that you supply all of our need.
Yes, God.
According to your riches in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so, Father, I just praise you and I thank you and I just lift up Stan to you today, Lord. I lift up his family to you during
thank
this Christmas
God.
Season, Lord God. I pray for your peace over his home, over his kids. I pray that he'd get the time with his family that he needs, Lord, that it'd be a precious time. And I just ask, Lord, that your anointing would be on him this morning as he shares with us today. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Yeah. Appreciate that. If you brought your Bible today, just invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1 today. Luke chapter 1. And just as you're turning and as you're opening the Bible, a couple of little things is don't forget that on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a Christmas Day service here. So just in a few days, Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, and there'll be a little brunch or a light brunch afterwards. I don't know exactly what that means, but we'll find out when we get here. Just going to come together and celebrate the birth of Jesus for those who can be here. So join us, will you? And then tonight, we have a kind of a Christmas candlelight kind of service at our house, and you're invited to come. And I know you might think, well, it's going to be crowded, but you're right. It will be. But it's fun. We're going to have a good time. We'll sing some carols, and you're welcome to come. You're also welcome to bring some caviar or, you know, anything else like it, like, you know, cheese or some chips or something, and join us. We're just going to have a great time together, and we've done this year after year, and we light candles, and we sing you know, Silent Night, Holy Night, as we just celebrate and welcome the birth of Jesus. So please come. Those of you who don't have cars, if you come here about 5:45, is there a few people here who'll come by with a car to pick people up? Just put your hands up if there's a few of you. Okay, there's 4 or 5 people, I think, who are going to come by here. So 7 people. Okay, so there's cars that'll be here. Meet here at 5:45. If you're late, you might not get a ride, so come. Be here at 5:45. If you're driving and you don't know where I live or where we live, I should say, thankfully, I live with some wees. You know, it's not just by myself. But if you know where Leon's Furniture is on Mackenzie Road, on the south side of Red Deer, if you go east 1 kilometer, you'll see our house because you'll see all the cars there. And it's 1 kilometer. You go over the overpass and 1 kilometer, and we're on the north side of the road. And if you have any trouble with that, Good luck. Come and see me. Come and see me after. Luke chapter 1, we read in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Just read that one more time. That's such an important line. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Now just get how Mary responds here. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "So may it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. You say amen? Thank you, God. Now, yeah, I can pray for you. I can pray for you. What do you want, son? What do you need? You want to get your life back? Your sobriety back? Okay. We can do that. We can do that. Listen, you were sober for how long? A long time, right? So we start again today, right now. Amen? Dan, would you come here? You're going to just need Dan to be here. Dan's been through this. We're going to pray for our sister. This is important. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I thank you for Samantha, Lord. I know that she's here because you call her to this place. And I know, Lord, that she's been sober for a long time and now had a couple hard days. No excuses, Lord, none. And she just bears the full responsibility for the decisions that she's made. But Lord, now in the name of Jesus, I just declare her forgiven and that you're going to heal her, God, and you're going to take this away once and for all, Lord. You are the God of victory. You're the God of freedom. And just as we read, there's nothing that's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible. And we just speak, God, life, and we speak freedom. Yes, and you're grieving. Is that what you're saying? You're grieving?
I can't let go of my presence.
I know, you can't let go, but you're going to today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, remove it, Lord. You know, strength, God. Just pray strength for Samantha. We love her, God, and we know that she's a part of this body and part of this family. And we declare, Lord, your freedom, your victory. And Lord, in all the hurts in her life, like she's talking about, the grieving, God, the child she lost. Lord, all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for victory. And that you'll give her peace that can only come through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Give me a hug. I'll pray for you more after the service, okay? Can you let me preach now, okay? You want to sit? You want
no.
To there we go. God bless you. Okay. You want to sit here or you want to sit in the back? You want to help her? Just a second, Blair. Just help her. There we go. Blair will help you find a chair, okay, Sam? Amen. Well, maybe someone else can get up here too. There we go. Just find a place to sit. There you go. Okay. There we go. So every week over the past number of weeks, we've been looking also at Samuel, and God's been, I don't know about you, but for me, it's phenomenal. Every week, it's not like this stuff's planned. And then I think, well, we're done now. We probably aren't going to do any more Samuel stuff. And then it's like there's another revelation. And when you read Samuel, I mean, that's how God works sometimes, is he doesn't always give us the whole revelation. Maybe even that in itself is a bit of a word. You know, you want to know from God, "Lord, show me, show me, show me." He goes, "Well, here's a little bit, and then here's a little more." And that's so that we keep seeking him. And so that we know where the answers come from and that we build that relationship with him. And so once again this morning, I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 13. and then make that connection to the Christ story, to the birth of Jesus. And this story, you know, the stories in Samuel, it's like one big story, but there's all these little stories. There's all these little stories within the big story. And this is one about when Saul is the king, and he's disobedient, and he's not listening to God, and he's not doing what God wants him to do. And he's about to engage in battle with the Philistines. And just listen to these words. So 1 Samuel 13, and Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel for 42 years. Now Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. And Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were outnumbered, the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots and 6,000 charioteers and soldiers. Now get this. There are so many Philistine soldiers that they were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And they went up and they camped at Michmash east of Beth Avon. And when the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid. They hid in caves and thickets and among the rocks. They hid in pits and cisterns. And some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. So they left the promised land, right? And Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking. It's an important word today. All the troops were quaking. And he waited 7 days for the time that was set by Samuel. Samuel was supposed to meet him. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. And so he said, "Bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offerings himself. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" Samuel said. And Saul replied, "Well, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. And so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. He's appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." And that's the end of God's word this morning. That's how we end the reading, at least. I think that the writer of 1 Samuel here, you know, makes his point when he describes all the different places that Saul's men were hiding. You know, and it's almost like he's embarrassed, or he's trying to insult them, or he's just making it real clear. You know, here are these guys. They're about to fight the Philistines. And there's got to be nothing worse than when you got a group that you're already way outnumbered. You know, the Philistines have way, way more people than you have. And you start watching your good fighting men, you know, trickle away. And he says, you know, that they hid. They were quaking in their boots. And they hid in caves and thickets and rocks and pits and cisterns. And he doesn't just say, well, you know, some of them hid somewhere. But he's very specific about it. These guys were cowardly. They were hiding in wells and behind rocks and under bushes and in whatever closet they could find. And they didn't want to get caught. And you can imagine, I think we can even empathize with Saul. If we were Saul, we're going, man, this is a terrible situation. And you can understand the panic. My men are all leaving me, and we're going to have this big battle, and I'm going to be left with no one to fight. There they go. You know, you can. They're slipping through my fingers, these men. And he's afraid. And the question today is, what do you do? What do you do when there's an army or there's an enemy attacking you, and when your own army is slipping away? What do you do when God is late? Because that's really the question. What do you do when God's late? Samuel was supposed to be there. He had said, "We'll agree on this time." Samuel was late. And so Saul took matters into his own hands. What do you do when God's late? Saul's answer to the question is, well, you grab the bull by the horns and you sacrifice it. You just do it. Like, I'm not going to stand here. It's kind of what Saul was saying. I'm not going to stand here and just let my enemy, you know, steamroll me over. What do you do when God is late? What do you do when you're afraid? What do you do? And what Saul did is he panicked, right? He took matters into his own hands. He said, I got to do something here. I'm going to do something. If I don't do something, I'm going to lose all my men. So what do you do when God's late? What do you do in your life? How hard is it to trust God when it just seems like he's so far away or he's not coming when we think he should be there? How easy is it for us to panic and to take matters into our own hands? And to say, where are you, God? Where have you been? I've been crying out to you. I need to do something. You know, and there's a difference between what we see with our spiritual eyes and what we see with our human eyes. From a human point of view, we can understand Saul completely. I understand why he did what he did. From our human point of view, we see, you know, we can almost see what's going to happen. If I don't do this, then we're going to be destroyed for sure. But from spiritual eyes, what really happens is God is saying, you know, I'm going to show you. If you just believe. If you'll only have faith, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. But what for this to happen, you need to sit patiently. You need to be still and know that I'm God. For me to show you how great I am, for me to show you the power that I have and that I'm a God who saves, you need to see how bad this is going to get before it's going to get good. You know what I'm saying? You follow that? You need to be patient. You need to wait on God, and you must not panic, but you must obey. And because Saul didn't obey, his kingdom was taken from him. But it's easy to say and it's hard to do, right? It's hard to wait on God. It's hard to trust him. It's hard not to think that he's late. It's hard not to panic and to not take matters into our own hands. I won't have anyone raise their hands, but how many of us have, you know, my hands are already up, so you know I've done this, but taking matters into our own hands. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make this work. When God's really saying, stop it. Be quiet. You can't fix this. You can't save that person. You need to just be still. Truly, the Christmas story is about waiting on God, right? I mean, if it's about the hope we have, it's about Christ coming, but I think if you look at the very bottom line, it's about waiting and trusting God. And that, you know, this was true for hundreds of years that they waited. Think about it. It's a story about waiting. This thing that we celebrate today of the manger and little Jesus being born, man, they'd been waiting for that for hundreds and hundreds of years. Isaiah prophesied about it almost 700 years earlier, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited some more. And they kept waiting until the day when God said, it's time, right? That God appointed a time. He said, it's now is the time. Now my son will be born. Now my son will save the world. But they waited. It's all about, if you think about it, this whole picture is about people who are waiting. Mary waited, even though the angel said to her, you know, he said, you're going to have a baby. She waited for those 9 months for that baby to be born. There's waiting happening in this picture. There's waiting happening. Simeon and Anna were waiting, we're told, for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for this day to come. They were waiting in the temple. They were patient. They were praying. They were calling out to God. But there's not only do we see waiting in this picture, but we also see fear. There is fear around the manger, if you look carefully. There's people who, you know, they're afraid of what's going to happen. They're afraid. The shepherds were quaking. That's the way I learned it. They were in the fields quaking, you know. Sort of that same word, actually, that was described, that same word used to describe Saul's men. The shepherds were quaking in the fields, and who wouldn't be? Because the glory of the Lord was just unleashed upon them, right? And Mary was afraid to some degree, and the angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. There's a lot of fear in this picture too, if you think about it. Think about Herod. Man, he was afraid. He had heard that there was a king of the Jews who was born. And there he was afraid because he thought, this guy's going to take over. He's going to, his kingdom is going to usurp my kingdom. And so he did everything he could. Herod panicked, right? We could agree on that. He panicked. He took matters into his own hands. He killed all the boys who were two and under in Bethlehem because he was afraid. There's lots of fear in this story, if you think about it. What about the Magi? There's fear in them as well. They're afraid because of what Herod's doing, and for good reason. And so because they were afraid, we're told they took a different route, and they didn't go back to see Herod. They were afraid for the life of this child. There are a lot of examples of people who were afraid. Come here a minute. Come with me. She doesn't know what's happening. I want you to get this today. Shh. Would you sit right there? I know that your answer to this question will be yes. Will you hold this baby? Thank you, God. You know that Mary was probably even younger than Daniela. She's probably younger. Mary was probably 13 or 14. I believe you're 15, right? And I think that Mary was probably quite afraid, don't you? Being 13 years old and encountering an angel who said, you're going to have a baby, even though you're a virgin. I think that Mary was probably rightfully afraid. I think that of all the people that we could look at in this story, whether it's the shepherds or the Magi or Herod or anyone, it's Mary more than anyone else who had a reason to be afraid. And you know what? She had a reason to take matters into her own hands. She had a reason to panic. And to not trust God, she really did. Because she was left holding the bag. And I'm sure, a normal person would be thinking, why me? You know, why am I having to go through this? I can imagine that beautiful Mary would have said things like this. Well, what about Joseph? What's Joseph going to say? Because Immaculate Conception isn't something that people understand very well. What's Joseph going to say? And how am I going to have a baby? I can't afford a baby. I can't have a baby. And there's no hospital. I have no medical care. How is this going to happen? You can imagine the things and the thoughts that must have gone through Mary's head those months, right? And I wonder, it's okay if I wonder, I think, but I wonder if there weren't times that she thought, I wish this would just all go away. I wish this would just all go away. And as a matter of fact, Mary had a choice. You might think that we only have those choices nowadays where we have abortion clinics, but the truth is she had a choice back then. I did a little research this week, and abortion was very common in first century Palestine. Abortion was something that happened. It's been around from almost the time that conception happened. People figured out ways of dealing with unwanted pregnancies. There were different things. There were some poisons. There were kind of mild poisons that women would use. And this might sound kind of harsh, but one of the things that happened more frequently than that even was that women who were pregnant and who didn't want to have a baby would just subject themselves to a physical beating and the baby would miscarriage. And that was not unusual. So don't think today that Mary didn't have a choice. She had a real choice to make. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that instead of Mary saying, I wish this would just go away, instead of that, Mary said, okay, God, so then let it be to me, just as you said. And I think, you know, I think that is the word of God today, that these are the two options that could have happened. Mary could have said, I just want this to go away. I don't want the pain. I don't want the shame of this. There was a risk even of her being stoned. She could legally have been stoned for what she did or what the perception was. But instead of saying, I just want this to go away, she said, okay, Father, let it be to me, just as you have said. Thank God. Thank God that she preserved the life of Jesus. Thank God that that life was precious to her. And that our Savior lives because she was willing to trust God and not panic. She didn't panic. She didn't take matters into her own hands. She didn't say, well, God has abandoned me. God is gone. God is no longer here. No, she just said, okay, there is nothing impossible. That's what the angel said. There's nothing impossible with you, God. So I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me. And I have a question for you today. Are you in panic mode? Or are you in trust mode? Are you in, I'm going to take matters into my own hands mode? Or are you in, okay, God, I trust you and I believe in you and I will be still and know that you are God? What mode are you in? Where are you in? You know, there's some of us here today. And I know you guys, and I know your story, and I know your lives. I know the hard things. I know what you're praying for. There are some really hard things, and it's hard not to just take action. It's hard just, you know, not to do something. God's word today is this: just trust me. Don't let go of me. Don't open up your hands and release me to use your hands to take some kind of action. There are people here who have had a really hard diagnosis. You got cancer or you got some other sickness in your life. And I want you to know what God is saying today when he says, just trust me. I am your God. Some of us are in debt. In fact, we're so deep into debt that it feels like we're drowning in it. Again, I won't have you raise your hands. But God says, trust me. That doesn't mean you don't need to be responsible. You may need to cut up the credit cards. You may need to make a budget. You may need to change some things in your life. But you can trust me and know that I am your God, and I'm not going to let you go. I'm not. Some of you are worried about your kids, and you got good reason to be worried about your kids because they're going through hard things, and they're wandering, and they're addicted, and they're struggling, and they got nothing to do with God. But trust in God. Put your faith in God. You cannot save your kids. I'm going to say it again. You cannot save your kids. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. You can be a witness. You can be a light that shines. You can, at times, say the right thing. But you know what? Most of the time, we just got to keep our mouths quiet because a lot of times we do more harm than good. But when the Spirit prompts us, you can sometimes say a word of encouragement to your son or your daughter. But only God can save. You can't save them. You can't save them. But know this, that he's still God. He's still God. He's still in control. He has matters in his hands. You don't need to panic. It's time to stop panicking. Don't panic. Just trust God. Trust the Lord. Yeah. And I don't know what it is in your life. It can be an addiction. There's so many things that we lose our bearing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can relate to those men of Saul. I want to hide. Get me a well. Get me some rocks. You know, get me a cistern. Give me a bush. I'll hide behind the bush. You know, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of life. I'm afraid of the things that are going on. Someone mentioned, you know, the awful things that happened a week ago. And I've had some phone calls about that this week from some people going, how do I cope? I don't even dare. I don't know what to do with my little children anymore. And it doesn't help. I don't know if you heard this or not. You can buy backpacks now that are armor plated. That are you can for a 1 year old, for a 5 year old kid in kindergarten, you can give your kid an armor plated, bulletproof backpack. Imagine that kid going through life as he's being taught to cower and what to do if he gets into these situations. I just want you to know today, this is really the Christmas message. I want you to know today, you don't need to be afraid, and you don't need to panic, and you do not need to buy armor-plated backpacks because our God is in control. Thank you, God. My God is still God. My God is still God, and He is greater. There is nothing that my God cannot do, and I do not need to be afraid. And it doesn't matter, even though the walls fall down, even though there's a fire, even though the world starts to crumble around me, I am going to live with my Jesus forever and forever. He is the eternal King. We learned that last week. He is the eternal King, and His kingdom will reign. His dominion will exceed all things forever and forever and forever. You don't need to be afraid. Let's start encouraging each other with this word, that God is in control. He has matters in His own hands, and you don't need to hide anymore. You don't need to hide. Get out from behind that bush. Get out of that closet. Stand up and say, God, you are my God. You are my God. Because now listen to this. When we allow fear to be Lord in our lives, when we let fear dominate us, what we're really doing is we are aborting Jesus from our hearts. And we don't need to do that. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that we can trust you. Even when we're a part of a world that's so broken and so chaotic, we can bring little boys into the world in good confidence. In good confidence that God's in control. We don't need to be afraid. Because Jesus lives in our hearts. And perfect love casts out all fear. Thank you, God. Pray with me. Thank you, God, for this picture, this visual, living image, Lord, of your Son and Mary willing to have Him, willing to trust you, willing to be a servant of the Most High God. Just praise your name, God. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for being Son of God. We welcome you to reign in our hearts. And I pray, God, today that you would squeeze out from our hearts, just squeeze out any fear, any terror, any worries, any struggles. Just, Lord, press our hearts so that those things leave us. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief today. Teach us to trust you with all of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can bring her back. Him back. Yeah. You can't keep her, no. Or him. She asked me, can I keep him? No. That's not really what she said. I want to have one more prayer today. And I just want to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I know that there's some of us here today that, you know, this is a message you need to hear. I really believe that. You know, God's saying, don't panic. You are panicking in your life. And even, you know, in my life, I shouldn't say even in my life, especially in my life, I've had to repent the last couple days. And I'll tell you why, because I get into this mode sometimes where I'll say to Crystal, man, if I can just make it through Sunday. I just got to make it through Sunday. And then we get to Monday, we go, okay, we just got to make it through Monday. You know, and then it's Christmas Day. And, you know, honey, if we just make it through Christmas Day, we're going to be all right. And you know what? There's even a fear in that. And it's not enjoying it. Sometimes we just got to take a collective Deep breath. And that's what I want to do right now. I want to just, everyone, just take a big cleansing breath and say, okay, God, all of this noise that's out there that we hear, all of the rumble, all of the pressure, all of the pressure of this season, take it away. We don't want to be in that place where we just can't wait for Christmas to be over because it's just so pressure-filled. I don't want to be there anymore. And I confess to you that I've been there many, many times where you don't even like Christmas anymore. I want to take some time. I want to take a deep breath and just say, okay, God, help me to keep this about what it's supposed to be about Jesus. I don't want to rush through this. I don't want to feel the pressure of Walmart. I don't. I don't want this to be about my tree that's drying out. I don't want to worry about the party that's going to happen tonight and where we're going to park all the cars. I don't care anymore. You can park on the road or you can walk from Leon's. It doesn't matter. It's only a mile. I just want to relax in the Lord. I want peace. And the only place I get that peace is from the Prince of Peace. How about you? So if I want to pray for you this morning in particular, if this is something that you're going, yeah, I needed to hear this today, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Just stand up. There you go. Oh, 20 honest people. I love it. Thank you, God. Just stand up. Thank you, God. We declare today that we believe in you, Jesus, and that we are going to take a deep spiritual breath right now and slow down things, God. Things are going too fast, and we're too worried about impressing people or making sure our houses are clean or that we've got just the right present for that right person. God, all that stuff is just garbage, and we want to just let it go. None of that matters. None of that is got anything to do with your birth, Jesus. And so we want to let it go, God. The worries that we have, the panic that sometimes overtakes us, we want to let it go, God. Thank you, Jesus. And for the people who are standing up, Lord, there's a reason we're standing. And that reason is we just want you to reign in our hearts. We do not want to see the Christ child aborted from Christmas or aborted from our lives because we are filled with fear instead of perfect divine love. So right now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would impart that divine love into us. Thank you, God. Give us a new focus, perspective, Lord. And just remind us that it doesn't matter about addiction, and it doesn't matter about poverty. It doesn't matter that we're in debt. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis of the doctor is. And it doesn't matter what we don't have. What we do have is Jesus. And there is nothing impossible with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stay standing? Yeah, how about if we do that, How Great Is Our God again? I'm going to end with that song. And remember, Tuesday, we're going to have a Christmas service here. And Luis is preaching for us. So, boy, I tell you, there's reason. That's why I'm coming, just for that reason even. How great is our God. You know, I just want to, before the parting blessing, just say that I know that there's, some of you have been coming the last 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, and maybe we don't even know you yet. Don't let that scare you away. It takes us some time. We want to get to know you. We want to just know that you're part of this body. You're part of the family of God. You belong. We need you here. God needs you here. You bring something that no one else brings. So you're an integral part of the body of God. Don't think that you're being missed. Give us some time. We're going to figure out who you are. There's a lot of new people. It takes us a little time. Be patient with us. But know this, that you belong to God. And amen. And we're so glad that you're here. We need to build this army of God. God is building up an army. God is building up an army. Yeah. God is going to overtake this city. The city streets are going to be filled with the holiness, with the holiness, and with the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord. And he has power that the enemy only shrinks from.
Yes.
He is a power that no one can compare to.
Yes, Lord.
He is an eternal and an all-powerful God. Yes, and he is not done.
Amen.
He is not done.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless you today and keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace from the Prince of Peace. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.